folks, and welcome into this week's episode of Forte Catholic. I'm so glad that you are here. Today, we're doing a special edition podcast called A Forte Flashback. We've done a few of these before, but we look back at the first time that our co-hosts were guests, often many, many, many years ago. So today, we are highlighting Catherine Whitaker and her. We're doing a bonus today. Her first two appearances on the show, because one was audio only back when we were just a radio show and podcast, and then the other one was video and also in person. We're going to kick off there with episode 256, the first time that we ever recorded in person. It was actually a trifecta because Liv Harrison was actually with us. We were at Liv's house. All three of us chatted together about some of the things that are anchors or foundations for us in our own faith lives and what keeps us strong during some of our toughest times. Here we are in the middle of Lent as this releases. And I think both of these conversations actually have to do a little bit with suffering and working through it, which is a great Lenten theme. So we thought that you'd enjoy revisiting these conversations with Catherine, one from a couple of years ago and one from many years ago. But we're kicking off with our first guest appearance from episode 256. So hope you enjoy. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. I am Taylor Schroll, and Liv and I are now joined by our good friend who drove all the way here just for me, Catherine Whitaker. Hello, Catherine.
Sorry, I was shaking my head. No.
I heard you shaking your head. It was Catherine, loud enough.
Catherine can't lie. She's not one of us.
Aggies do not lie, cheaters still.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
didn't take long, did it?
Not at all.
Well... How much trouble are we going to get in today, or am I going to get in today?
Because
I know a lot of Aggies lied to me
We love the Aggies.
But this Aggie always tells you the truth.
Always.
Well, let's get into that.
Let's just test that.
This segment, I promise, it's how most things in my life goes. Liv can attest to this, is I like to be really mean up front. But I actually have something very genuinely nice to say to Catherine in this segment. But first,
was amazing.
But
I was here
first,
for the ride. This is great.
Catherine.
Yes.
You say that you're a person that is not a liar.
That's correct. Now, I'm getting worried. Yes.
we saw each other... At two events over the last year.
I know where this is going.
We saw each other at two events over the last year. Both of them. I'm going to get to the compliment part. The compliment part comes from actually those two events and seeing you there. But first, one of the things that you said to me both of those times was, Taylor, I'm in College Station all the time. It's what you sound like to me.
From Mississippi.
Reese Witherspoon and Legally Blonde.
I come to the Aggie Land all the time, and I know that's where you live.
Okay, still Magnolias. That's my hometown.
Liv, I know this is your house, but could you leave? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, your accent's great. Go ahead.
So, thank you. So Catherine was saying, I'm going to stop doing the accent because y'all don't pay attention to me anyway. So what does it care? What does it matter? But you kept saying I'm there all the time. And we were like, you're due to be a guest on my show. And you were like, I'm going to just, the next time I'm there, I'll swing by your house and we'll record a 20-minute segment. How many times has Catherine Whitaker been to College Station since that was said?
Probably a lot. But here's the deal is that I should have said, when I'm in College Station and I have extra time. Now, if you had been... Say, for example, near Kyle Field, I would have seen you probably six or... By the way, Kyle Field is where we play football. At least six or seven times. I've been working out.
Texas A&M always is what we mean. She doesn't
We collectively. Because as part of the 12th man, they need me there.
That's true. Taylor.
The 12th man, for as famous as he is, gets no playing time.
He gets zero.
Yeah, you should have done the show remote. You definitely would have gotten her. That would have been amazing. Why didn't you think of that?
Here's the thing.
Let's put it back on you. That's terrible.
Well, I was creative.
I was never going to be like, oh, Catherine, you know, she said she was going to come, you know, when she comes to town, and I see on Instagram she's there every week. So I'm like, well, one of these times she's got to come over. So like, why do a Zoom when we can just, you know, you can come over to my house and we can do it in the studio.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, I'm gonna make it real public that I'm in College Station.
And then he did the low key, like texted me, how many times are you going to come to College Station without telling me?
Are your feelings hurt?
Here's the worst part.
Yes, yes, they
Here's
are.
Here's the worst part. Taylor's feelings. Where dead. Are we right now?
Yeah, that this is funny.
We are in Houston, Texas, where I don't live. Catherine does not live. And it's a further drive away from me at my house for Catherine. But Catherine only showed up here to record with Liv later for Liv's show, and I just was a tack on. So
Texas A&M is practicing in my yard right now. There's a big football thing happening in my yard.
What? What are you talking about?
I was lying. Okay. I was saying Texas A&M is not here. I was trying
to. I still
to,
love you.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself, young lady?
Wow, he's not letting this go.
I love my kid more than I love you, and that's who I was going to see.
That's fine. You didn't have 20 minutes?
For 2 seconds, I had to think, am I her kid? It was amazing. I was like, she loves me more than you. But she wait, loves, I'm not. I was
you're not
this,
Will.
Is this a scenario? Is this a, I'm stop talking.
Everyone could see me right after you said that, looking at the two of you, like, I'm not sure who's older, and I'm not going to guess.
No, I didn't even like that. I thought she was using like a metaphor. She was speaking in parables.
No, I don't speak in parables. Nope, that has not happened.
No, we met our
You
room.
Know why you don't speak in parables? Because parables are lying. There wasn't a man with a farm. You're lying.
Oh, my God.
She loves you,
I'm
Taylor.
Hurting from laughing.
Okay.
She's here now.
She is here now, and I'm just going to, you know, we're only 6 minutes in, so I'm going to try to be nice
is this
now.
The compliment? I this was is like, the compliment are we here?
Part. Now we're transitioning.
We have, we built a whole segment off of Catherine, because at these two events, it just happened to be that I was speaking at the two events that I saw you at, and you were so kind to me. I think most people assume that the people on the stage are good. And like the most you'll get is like a random like, oh, good talk. You know, like that's fine, you know? And like those mean nothing to me. Like the just kind of passing by. But when someone I respect, like Catherine, sorry, Liv.
we'll get to you later.
Yeah. The other two segments
20,
are
2022.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see if I can think of a compliment by the end of the show.
Yeah, for Liv. We'll try real hard.
You're so kind to me every time we come. Every time I see you somewhere, you're like, you know, oh, you're really good at this. And it's like, it's one of those things that it's like, I have the confidence that I'm good at the things that I know that I'm good at. Because we talk about this all the time about me. It's like, I'm not going to do the things that I'm bad at. I'm only going to do the things that I'm good at. But like, I think because people know that I'm confident about it, no one says anything nice. So when you say nice things, it's two things. It's that you're like, because you're a known author and speaker, like you're good at it. So, like, when you say a compliment, like, it actually means something to me, which, like, most compliments don't, because they're mostly sarcastic because they're not compliments. But the second thing is, at one of the events, like, we know each other, but we've been in the same building, like, four times because, as we talked about, you avoid me like the plague. But in the times that we've been together, like, I remember, like, driving back to the Diocesan Conference to meet you because we had missed each other.
Yes, that
I
drove was very back. Nice, yes.
And then like, at this conference, at this other event, we stood there, me, you, and our friend James Longoria, and we talked for, like, an hour and a half, and it got deep like that. Like, all three of us just, like...
That's kind of Catherine.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
That's her MO.
Right. That's kind of my point. It's, like, it's a big part of who you are that I'm, like, I trust you. And I was saying things that I don't say to a ton of people. Like, I say to the people that I'm really close with, and this was the third time I ever saw you in person, right? So, like, there's something about you that is, that makes your compliment actually mean something. I don't know what it says about me, but, like, most compliments don't mean anything to me. But yours real, like, I went away for, like, 3 weeks, and I was like, oh, nice.
Oh, that's what ever likes me.
You're so nice.
So,
Taylor.
There's got to be something about you that makes it easy for me. And you said, like you said, it's her MO.
Yeah, I can tell you what it is, but I'll see if she
okay,
knows.
Well, let's give her a chance to talk.
Like Catherine speak.
I'm going to let her talk. See if she knows. Do you know yourself, Catherine?
Why are you so amazing?
I talk to my teenagers. They may not agree with you. Yeah. Is that a serious question?
Huh? Yeah. Oh.
I'm not amazing. I just learned how to tell the truth from my mom and my dad. and really, truly. And I don't know. Life's too short to not be authentic. Like, I think. Like, I have a really difficult time being around people who are not truly who they're meant to be. Whether they're easy to get along with or not easy to get along with, I don't have an interest in being around you if, like, you're fake Taylor or fake Liv. Like, thank you, but I have other things to do than to play that game. So I just, I guess, maybe do things the way that I hope other people would be around me, stay around me, talk around me, because life's too short for that funny business. Yeah. At least that's what I think.
Yeah. And like we built this segment off of that, because I didn't know what it was, but I knew that there was something that was like a pillar, a foundation for you, and it's telling the truth, right? We joked about it at the beginning, but like that really is important to you. And I think I'm starting to see it now that like you telling the truth lets me tell the truth, not just the like things that I say to everybody, right?
And I hold that in confidence. Like, I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm going to spill my guts to Catherine, and then I'm going to go talk to someone else and be like, I told Catherine that. Not gossipy kind, but like sometimes you have a conversation with someone and they tell you something like in confidence, and not just in that, but also like with a lot of trust. And I take that very seriously. Like, that means a lot to me, and I don't want to blow it because I would hope that they would do the same thing for me.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the other foundations of our lives. Like, truth is a foundation. It's a pillar for you. Like, that goes all the way back to your childhood. And like, we've seen it, right? And it was interesting because like in that conversation, like one of my pillars for better or worse is that I'm confident in what I'm doing, right? That can, it's most of the time, it's a good thing. It's like, I'm gonna knock this out of the park. And like being confident act is like, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy a lot of times. Like, this segment's going to go well. So most of the time it will. Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm not sure about the segment, it probably won't go well, right? So being confident in things is a foundation for me. It always has. Like, it came a lot with sports. It's like, I did a lot of winning. But then it was like, well, what about, like, there was a season that we went like 3-28. But there was still, like, every shot that I took, I knew it was going in. Even if it didn't, even if there was a game that I made 20% of my shots, right? But like that confidence has become, or has always been a pillar for me. So where like when things start going crazy, like if I'm in a losing basketball season or like COVID happens and life falls apart, it's like, I'm still confident that life's going to be good, even if it's not right now, right? So I want to, like, we've talked about one for you, truth, confidence, one for me. Liv, what's one of the things that's like a pillar for you, a foundation when everything else is falling apart? Like, a lot of people's lives have fallen apart over the last 18 months, whatever, year and a half, whatever it's been. What's one of those pillars that keeps you, like, who Liv is, a decent Catholic woman? Like, what is one of those pillars for you, the things that, like, when everything else is crumbling, this is what I'm standing on?
Yeah, you know what? This is a really interesting question, and this is going to be probably an answer you hate. But I would have to say, and I specifically mean this person, not just what I do with this person, but my therapist. She has been in my life for 5 years, and she really knows me and loves me, and she's a part of my life, and not just because I pay her money, and not just because
that was on the last episode of Ted Lasso.
Okay, continue.
Oh, we're bringing back to Ted Lasso. Yeah, Ted Lasso. But I talk about her all the time. Her name is Spring Hill. That's her actual name. Like, isn't that weird?
I think her name's copyrighted.
That's the name of one of my subdivisions that I used to live in.
I know, her first name's Spring, her last name's Hill. And she is, she really is. And also she's not Catholic, but she is like ground zero for me. And I think maybe because she's not my family, she's not Nathan, she's not y'all, you know, she's not my inner circle. Like, she just can get me back to where I need to be. There's so many times Nathan's looked at me and said, I'm calling Spring, or you need to talk to her, or whatever. And she, like, supports me in everything I do. She came to my
after party. What I'm hearing is, I will pay someone else to listen to you at this moment. No, I'm done.
She's beyond. Like,
she's your
beyond.
Baseline, though. She's
she
your baseline.
Is. She's my baseline. She really is. That's the truth. But I know not all therapists, and that might be, we might not be doing the right thing with our relationship. It's fine. I'm okay with it, HIPAA. So,
I thought you were calling me a HIPAA.
That's rude.
Golly.
Yeah, Yeah, so she's a big part of my life. But yeah, she definitely is a baseline for me.
Okay. Catherine, what's one of the other ones for you? The foundation for you that holds you up even when everything else is going wrong?
Probably. So I'm going to go back. Have you ever done StrengthsFinders?
Yes.
Okay. So
my number one is Achiever.
Is it?
In competition. Yeah.
What are our top five? I didn't know.
I have Achiever in my top five.
What?
Okay.
Liv's never achieved anything.
Why am I here? I don't even know why I'm here.
Literally covered up your face with our high five.
I have Achiever probably as number 35. Let's be honest. Okay.
My fifth strength.
Liv failed the StrengthsFinder test.
She didn't do the test.
I did. I know my five.
Okay.
Is belief. Mm. So that it's people mistake that thinking that like it's belief in Jesus, but it's really belief in what you do. So I learned over the last 20 months that my worldview looked very different than other people. You know, like we know that on like a cerebral level, but I don't think I knew that on a heart level until the last 20 months happened. And so now I'm really drawn to people who believe in something. And even if it's different than what I believe in, because it makes me more grounded in my faith, but it also makes me more open to listening to what they have to either experience or share that I did not do before. Because I just believed that my way was the only way. It was like my way or the highway. And then I realized maybe I need to learn something. Mm. Like maybe I need to hear about someone else's experience to be a better person. So I think over the last 20 months, that's actually, some people would say that's what's ungrounded them because everything's been so uncertain. But for me, it's been very grounding to hear about other people's experiences and really like sit with that. It was on, was it not K-Love? What's the show on SiriusXM? The Messenger? What is
Messenger, or something like that.
Excuse me, I think it's The Message. Anyway, one of the things that he was saying is, and I think it's a song, I think it's by Town and Country. Sorry, that's a band.
I thought that was a magazine.
It's called
a sponsored segment.
Don't know why I'm here.
it's a song called Relate. So it talks about like, I'm not you, you're not me, but I think that we can relate.
We're a happy family.
Yeah, we are.
I'm not, all of a sudden I was into camp. I was like a youth group.
I needed to rhyme. But so for me, belief in what shapes you, what makes you who you are has been hugely affirming for me the last 20 months.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear that because like I one of the talks I gave, it was like 7 years ago, but it was about, I was watching Lost, the TV show Lost.
Oh yeah.
There's a Muslim guy who's one of the main actors, and it shows, it's ironically enough, it's kind of showing that he's not a good practicing Muslim at the time, but he's in a town somewhere in the Middle East, and like there's people chasing each other trying to kill each other, which is obviously a bad thing. But then like the bells toll for everyone to pray, like because they have their hours that they pray, and everything stopped. The shopping stopped. The people selling stopped. The people trying to kill each other stopped, and they all got down and they prayed. And it was just this crazy thing of like, watching a TV show, a secular TV show, and watching a Muslim who actually wasn't even a good practicing Muslim, but everybody stopped. And it's like, that's the kind of like discipline I need in my prayer life. So I can totally see that. One of the other ones for me is, and this will be shocking, I think, to many of our listeners and probably the two of you, but like the intellectual rigor of the faith is actually what keeps me grounded.
Oh,
because
no, I can see that.
I absolutely understand. I can see that. Yeah.
Like, I don't talk about it as much, but like I study this stuff. Like this is what I went to school for. Mm-hmm. I've read the Bible. Like I got so deep into these things. I haven't as much recently, but it's like I have this foundation that even though I'm not, you know, reading a Scott Hahn book right now, it's like I've read tons of that stuff in the past where like over the last, you know, year and a half. Like we've had scandal, we've had COVID, we've had not going to mass, we've had like a lack of, like I've had a lack of grace, I think a lot of people have too. And like, it ultimately becomes this thing, it's like when I don't trust church leadership or I don't trust that I'm being poured into in my church community, if I don't, when nothing is going right, like what keeps me Catholic and here is I know that it's true. Even when the actions and the things happening to me are trying to bombard that it's true, right? But ultimately, it's like I've learned these things, and the church is right, even when I think it's not. So, like even the things that are hangups intellectually for me, it's like I'm the idiot, not the church who's been thinking about this for 2,000 years, right?
But can I say something about that? Because I think that we keep hearing like, oh, things are so bad right now, but like, have you read Exodus or Leviticus? Like, have you read the Old Testament?
Because it was real bad.
we have not had locusts descend. Like, there have been a lot of things that
that's next on the calendar.
That's
though,
next. That's September the 15th.
That's 2022, when we think everything's getting better. Right. It's not.
Yeah. But if those people lived through all of that and still kept their faith, then what are we griping about? Seriously.
They were griping too. So we're just like them.
But fair, but still, they like came out on the other side. Yeah. So if they went through that, I think
it
should be.
Not all of them. All the old people died.
So. Fair. Not everyone made it through all of that. But what I'm saying is that like there's precedent.
Sure.
We read it. We see it. So surely if they can maintain faith through that we can maintain faith through stuff we got going on.
I've got to make the joke.
Okay, do it.
Don't call me Shirley. Okay. Oh, it was one of those things that like half the people listening thought of it already. So if I didn't make it, I'd get yelled at. It's one of those things like it's such a dumb joke that you have to say it.
You have to say it.
All right, Liv, you're wrapping us up. Your last one.
My last one. It is a spiritual one. I more than once have fallen like away. I don't know if y'all know that. And the 54-day Rosary Novena has been such a pillar for me. Oh,
you know how much I hate that.
And right now,
a novena means 9. You did multiple novenas.
I am in a 9-month rosary. You messed me up. I'm in a 9-month novena, and I'm loving it. I don't know if y'all have done this one or not, but
I can only do them for 9 days.
Okay. So, but
that's what a novena is.
Attention span short. Go ahead.
I love it. It is my favorite thing I've ever done, and it has really grounded me, especially this year. I think I was going to say, to sum it up, I'm a novena kind of a gal. Like, I kind of like having a start and an end, and it's something that's already planned, and it tells me what to do, because y'all have met me, and anybody listening has heard me. That's not my forte. I'm not a strategic planner.
Oh, nice plug. Good job.
Thank you. That's not in my top 5. So I like it. I like a novena. I really do, and I'm really digging the one that I'm doing. So there you go.
But you should love what you're praying.
Yeah, I like that. Mm. It's not for you, but I am.
In a while.
Now, listen, I haven't made every single day during this 9-month one, but I have done the 54-day Rosary Novena all the way through more than once. And I think there should be a reward system from the Vatican.
Where's my sticker chart?
I mean, I kind of need something after that.
Your reward will be great in heaven.
Grace, yeah, okay. Mm.
So,
okay.
Got it. Okay.
Thanks, Jesus.
So, to wrap up, two things.
Called you Jesus.
To wrap up, two things to wrap up. One, like I didn't even plan it, but I started thinking like last night when we were getting ready for this, and I had told both of you we were talking about. You both texted me like, "What are we talking about?" It's like, "We already talked about it. Just look at it in your text messages." But I started thinking about like the ironically enough, the parable which we said were lies. Sorry, Jesus. But he's talking about the guy that built his house on the sand, right? And like, you know, instead of the guy that built his house on a rock, and like we have friends who. Like, I have a friend who used to be a co-host on the show, Sean McAfee. His house is built on a great foundation, just moved to New Orleans. Oh. 10 days. He lived in his house for 10 days and evacuated. And, like, everything's ruined.
That's right.
And it was like...
That's right.
But he, like, watching him and his comments and his thing, like, he has a incredible faith foundation. Because he's fine. He's like, this sucks. Like, financially, it's going to suck. They had water, feet... multiple feet of standing water in their house. They'd literally just moved in. They'd lived out of the country for years. They had just moved back to America. And watching his comments had just shown how good of a foundation him and his family have. But then even then, like talking about like the foundation of the house, it's like the house is still there. Like it was a sturdy and built house. And just like seeing like, I was thinking about like him. It's not a perfect comparison, but it's like he has this foundation spiritually that when like something really crappy happened to him, he just moved here. Like 2 weeks later, and he wouldn't have had the house. It would have been somebody else's problem, right? But like the water rose in his life, and he was like, "Yeah, this sucks, but like it's not going to shake my foundation." Yeah. Which I just thought was really cool. The second thing we have to do is, Catherine, we haven't talked about any of your stuff. So
my stuff.
You're amazing. We've had you on before to talk about your book and these. Yes, you get two things. What two things would you like to plug?
Oh,
well, my book. Okay. I do. It's both audiobooks. So if you like hearing this, you can hear more of it. Live Big, Love Bigger. So it's on Audible, but it's also on Amazon. It's about living an authentic hell yes kind of life. What's my other thing? I don't think I have
plumage.
A thing.
Plug it, girl. What? Now we know why I'm here. Yay.
We figured it out.
Yay. I have a purpose.
You know, I think the reason that I'm going on a pilgrimage.
Well, it's already booked.
I think we have a couple spots left
okay.
in October. But I think for so long, because it was one of the, it was supposed to happen in 2020, mm-hmm. didn't. So I think in my mind, I just have said it's not happening. It is happening, but my mind keeps saying it's not happening.
Where can they go to find out?
So you can go to, thank you.
Where are we going?
So we're going to France. So we're okay. following four female saints. So St. Catherine Laboureille, St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Bernadette, and St. Joan of Arc. So we'll actually be celebrating Mass in the church where St. Joan of Arc was martyred.
Stop.
Pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
I mean, not the killing, but sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the killing, no, but the place where we'll be worshiping, amazing.
Wow, that's cool.
So it's sort of a little boat cruise starting in Paris up on the Seine River and then back down. And then, of course, we'll end up in Lourdes. And so they can go to katherinewhitaker.net and you can find more about it
is
there.
Is it with Select?
It is with Select.
Okay, good, because they're my exclusive partner for travel stuff.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I was like, we're going to have to edit it out if it's not. No.
They've been amazing.
They really. Are great. They're sponsor of the show. They're tremendous. So,
they're awesome.
Ladies, thank you. Catherine, we're going to kick you out.
Thanks,
and we're going to see if we can compliment Liv by the end of this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If you like that conversation, make sure you hit subscribe. Before we move on, when we are going way back, way back to our radio and podcast days with episode 153, the first time that I ever really spoke to Catherine as a guest, she came on. The episode was titled Nightmares Are You Scaring You, which is just one of my favorite podcast titles we've ever had. We were talking about her book, Live Big, Love Bigger, Getting Real with some barbecue, sweet tea, and a whole lot of Jesus. We didn't realize that that was Catherine's entire, personality in the title of a book, but it works out for us. So we talk about her book. She shares about her story of dealing with loss and pain, how it affected her relationship with Christ, and as a bonus, how to share your faith without being a weirdo. I love this conversation. I hope that you do too. Welcome back to Forte Catholic. This is still your host, Taylor Schroll, with the lovely, the ineffable Allison Sullivan.
I didn't know if you were going to say me.
Absolutely. My imaginary friend is here. But
well, you started throwing out those adjectives, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, maybe we'll get to some more adjectives later, but I'd like to transfer right now into a noun. A fantastic noun who I have heard on your show. And I have heard on some other great podcasts,
yes.
And I know her from the internet. Her name is Catherine Whitaker, and she is on the line with us right now. Catherine, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Oh, I am just phenomenal. So you are currently, I'm very jealous of where you are right now. Why don't you tell everybody where you are based currently?
So I'm currently in New Orleans.
I should be
eating a beignet to really make that make you feel super guilty.
Make it legit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was actually just talking to somebody about New Orleans earlier this afternoon, where like the best restaurant, the best sandwich that you can get in New Orleans is actually in the back of a convenience store. It sounds really strange, but there's this like hidden restaurant in the back of this convenience store that like only the local people know,
right.
And I'm not a local person. But my mom and all of her sisters went to school in New Orleans, so they know the local places. It's away from everybody, and it sounds very strange.
Yeah, I think I need to be the judge of that.
Well,
I'm skeptical.
Let's go meet Catherine in New Orleans. Let's pause the
interview. Here we go.
And drive over to New Orleans and go pick it up in person. But Catherine, I've started to see you over the internet. I heard you recently on Allison's podcast, Inner Saint Sister. So people should go listen to that conversation there, especially if you're a woman. But I'm not a woman, and I listen religiously. And I mean that in both senses of the term. So you should all go listen to that. The first time that I heard of you was from our shared friend, Edmund Mitchell, when you went on his show, creatively called The Show. It's very strange. But you knocked it out of the park. Yeah. And the thing that I liked the most about you, like you're doing great things for the church. You have this beautiful faith. You have this beautiful family. The thing that I enjoy the most about you is how you say sweet tea. I have some in front of me and I would like you to say what I am holding in my hand.
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea. I love it. I love it so much.
So why don't you explain to the people who you are? You just wrote this book. You are currently in New Orleans for this book tour. Who are you and what do you do?
So I grew up in the panhandle of Texas, so the very top part, as a Protestant, and then went to Texas A&M and met a really cute boy in uniform and decided that Catholicism didn't look so bad.
So, literally.
Literally, yeah. It looked really great. So we have six kids, and our fifth child was born premature. And so I started blogging maybe about a year or so before he was born. And then when Luke was born, I really started kind of pouring my heart out into the internet about how I was feeling about that and what that looked like. And then God just kind of kept opening some doors. And I found over the course of all these years, he'll be 10 actually soon, is that that was sort of the way that I prayed to God was writing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that through the book, but obviously just the things that I share with people, that they resonate with them, that it finds a way to work its way into their story and that they can see God at work there. And then I also have the privilege, I have a freelance graphic design business. So I work with Catholic campus ministry programs around the country. So I love being a part of evangelization of the Catholic Church because I think it's a beautiful faith and I love sharing it.
You and your husband are this 1-2 punch. I actually knew your husband before I met you for his work here in the diocese. Yeah. I actually see him on the Diocese of Austin Twitter pretty often, or not Twitter, Instagram. And because of being so close to St. Mary's Catholic Center here, I've seen him when he's come into town here, seen him around diocesan events. So y'all seem to be a pretty great 1-2 punch. He's out here doing the development stuff. You're out here making things look good. And apparently you think he looks good. I can't weigh in on that. And I don't think it would be appropriate if Allison did either. But I am going to hand this conversation over to Allison because you two are friends. Allison's been doing a great job finding phenomenal people like yourself to come on to the show. So you ladies have fun.
So, Catherine, you and I got to work together at a conference, and there's just nothing like loving your coworkers, is there not?
And that was a really great place to do it.
It was really, really special. I know that we've oohed and aahed over it for the last couple of months, and I hope we get to do it again, or any chance to share space together and pray together. It felt like it affected eternity, you know? Like, I keep saying that as we were saying our goodbyes, like, I want my mansion to be next to yours. So,
do you mean in heaven or real life? Because either may be a possibility.
Let's do both.
Okay. But you know, one thing that has struck me about the conversations that you and I have had is that you seem really comfortable with the idea that sadness is not a sin, and often weeping is the godly response. So what are some things that help you with living out your circumstances as you're actually experiencing them, maybe not as you're maybe air quotes supposed to be? What keeps you authentic?
My kids, they can sniff out a liar faster than anyone in the house.
Yeah,
they keep you, they're sanctifying in all the best of ways. You know, I think when we had Luke, and so he was our kiddo that was born premature, we had to put one foot in front of the other, but we also recognized the years prior to that, we'd spent a lot of time building our community, our faith community, people who supported it and loved us. And when that earthquake happened in our life, I think it was an opportunity for us to tap into the people that could carry us on the days that we couldn't do it ourselves. And I think that was really the biggest lesson of Luke, is that I recognized that I couldn't do everything on my own.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think all of us have days that we're just like, and we're done. And I just needed people to be there when I couldn't do it anymore. And the beauty of that is that when it's been their turn to be done, I'm there to help. And I think that was only a gift that Luke gave us. And I'm grateful that I think through his experience, I learned that it's okay to experience all those emotions, sadness, happiness, frustration, you know, bewilderment, all those things. It's all okay.
Yeah.
There's no feeling that's off limits because those are your feelings. And then you have to talk to God and say, now what? What are we going to do now? And he did. We figured it out.
Yeah. The God of the universe can handle all of our emotions. That's just fine.
He can handle it. I mean, even though my husband can't always handle my emotions, God's like, I got this. Don't you worry.
I've joked before in the kindest of ways. I adore my husband. I'm like, you are an excellent husband, but you sure would be a crappy God. You know, that's like, there are limitations here. But, you know, what I hear you saying, you know, one thing that I was thinking as you were talking is that, you know, you were able to receive, but it was because you were able to be vulnerable and be authentic and ask for help. I think a lot of times as women, we can think that loving means giving, But what love actually is an exchange. And the exchange requires a giver and a receiver. So you just opened yourself up to be able to receive. And then that's where all the beauty happens, is in the middle.
And I'd say, Allison, that took me time to be vulnerable, because at first I thought, no, I got this. Appreciate everyone's help, but I'm fine. You know, like when someone says, how are you? And they're fine. You're like, that's a lie. But I didn't want people to think I was weak. I didn't want them to think I could handle it. And finally, you just hit a breaking point. You're like, I can't do this anymore. And I felt so guilty for asking for help. I felt guilty for accepting help. But then a crazy thing happened is when we accepted the help, it was just this beautiful avalanche and overflowing cup of grace that I was not expecting to feel or to experience. And it was transformative.
Mm. You know, I feel like a lot of times it's loss that paves the way to that greater joy. It's like you were being summoned on what was a deeper journey. And it seems bad. Nobody wants to take the way down on the way up. I mean, you know, we see failing as loss. We see loss as terrible, you know, when really it's a potential invitation to more. And that what you're talking about is a perfect example of that.
Always an invitation. I mean, I definitely look at what happened with Luke as God's invitation to us to finally have a real relationship,
right?
That we were going to have a grown-up adult relationship, and we were going to finally recognize that he was the one in control. If we could just relinquish the reins and give them to him, that our life would be more fruitful. It was going to be hard and it was going to be difficult, but we were also going to be buoyed and lifted up by a tremendous amount of grace and mercy.
That's so good, because our culture is always teaching us to attain and ascend and climb and achieve. And so consequently, none of us really desire this downward path to growth. You know, no one's out there seeking imperfection. But Jesus, that's why he has to keep telling us over and over and over again that the last will be first. And so our job is to abandon our egos, right? It's, you know, what you were saying about, no, I've got this, you know? And so the part of us that loves the status quo, the part of us that loves how perfection looks, even when it's not working.
Perfection is such a tricky thing, because at least I've always felt like if I could be perfect enough in faith, if I could be perfect enough in motherhood, if I could be perfect enough in my marriage, that maybe loss and maybe hardship wouldn't be so hard. It wouldn't be so difficult.
Right.
And so I think that's I think that's really difficult. It was a difficult emotion to kind of work myself through, is to get past the perfection, to realize that really God didn't really care how organized my spice rack was.
Yeah.
That took me a little while to get
your
there.
Your spice rack.
And,
gosh, I love you.
It's an alphabetical order too, but it's fine. I mean, I'm totally fine.
Will you come over? You know, but our rational mind can't process suffering. And so we avoid it or deny it or blame somebody else for it, you know, but really it's the greatest spiritual teacher of all. Is it not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen from the back.
Amen from the back. That's where I sit at church. So you wrote a book about this, and I think it's the most interesting title, because you're dealing with all of these very real things. But it says, the title of your book, Live Big, Love Bigger, Getting Real with Barbecue, Sweet Tea, and a Whole Lot of Jesus. Like, I love that so much, because this is, you're talking about real life stuff, like the difficult things, but also like this is just how we all live life. This is how we experience this is how we live the human experience. Like, we have great emotions, we have bad, or like not bad emotions, but negative emotions. And we, from all these spectrums, and yet there's still the barbecue, the sweet tea, and Jesus is there through all of it. So I want people to go check out the book. But at the same time, one of the things that you have done very well is you are living your Catholic faith publicly. The beautiful parts, the parts that are more difficult. And you're doing that in a way that is inviting, that is welcoming. When so many Catholics are like, you know what? I'm just going to be weird now. Like, I'm going to be weird about everything that I do. I'm going to be weird about how I talk, like what I focus on in the faith. I'm going to be weird about my liturgical preferences. I'm going to be weird about what I say on the internet. But you are a normal, regular, functioning human being. And I want you to share with people how you do that. How are you able to approach the good, the bad, the ugly in your faith, and then be able to share essentially your life with people?
Well, for one, I'm a really bad liar. I'm the daughter of an army man and a school teacher, so telling the truth was a big part of growing up in our house. You know, Taylor, I think that we look at our faith as, and like, that we're on a mission to convert the world. And had that been the case of the people that I had met when I was Protestant who were Catholic, I would have never become Catholic. Mm. But God put these really great people in my life who were living these beautiful, normal lives. And we would talk about Jesus, but then we would also talk about college football. Mm. And I think I needed people. I mean, that's what brought me to the faith, were people that didn't judge me and say, well, you know, priests can't be women, or, you know, abortion is wrong. Like, instead of just laying it all out there and telling me all the ways in which I was doing it wrong and the thoughts that I had that there was a greater truth ahead, they just were my friend. We had this saying, I went on our Curcio weekend, and I think it really encompasses kind of my life motto, is make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. And I think I just try to meet people where they are, because when we try to meet people where they think that they should be, then we become preachy, and how can they possibly be our friend? But when you meet people where they are and you talk about, okay, so I get that you're struggling with this. You know what? I used to struggle with that too. And then, you know, maybe you'll share how you got there, or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll just go grab a burger and a beer and you'll talk about it later. But I think that when you become approachable and you're yourself, people can see Christ in you. Nobody wants to be preached at. People want to be loved where they are. And then we lovingly lead them towards Christ. And you can't do that if you're not being who God meant you to be. If you're not authentic, people will sniff you out. So I just think it comes down to me being a bad liar. I just tried to be myself. So,
so good.
What's so interesting about, I was thinking about that a lot this weekend, because I was in the Austin area and I was talking about what it means to share our faith and to proclaim our faith. And like, as I was preparing for that session that I was giving, I was thinking about like the most impactful conversations that I have had to actually share the gospel with people. And it has been where I was just a normal human being. I was, you know, I was joyful. Like people could tell that I was a practicing Catholic, whether they knew or not. They were like, okay, I'm just a person that people enjoyed being around, at least most of the time. But like, it was those friendships that I built with people that eventually they were like, I want to talk to you about this. It was something more serious in their life, something going on, or they actually literally asked about my faith, and I was able to share them, and they were open to it. And I see so often with people in conversations, but also like on the internet, it's like people that like, you want to get to the end result. The end result is it'd be great if everybody was a practicing Catholic and agreed with everything that the church taught. But the method of going about that is often so wrong, in the sense that it is trying to be fast. It's like, if I just throw all the Catholic facts at them and they will assent to these, then they will be a good practicing Catholic. But actually, in throwing these punches, you're actually landing the punches and you're hitting people. Like, no one wants to be a part of something where they're being punched in the face with all of these things. You disagree here, you disagree here, you disagree here. It's like, let's be regular people, have real relationships with people.
And nobody wants to be shamed, Taylor.
Right.
People don't want, I mean, we live in a culture where we think that it's okay to do that, and that it's okay to just to live in a world that's black and white, when in reality, most of us live in the world of gray. Mm-hmm. And we try to tell people, this is the way, the truth, and the life, and if you don't believe it, you're going to hell. Well, that's not going to convert anybody. And that's not how Jesus did it either. He certainly didn't hang out with all the affluent people around the world. He hung out with the people that nobody else wanted to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to always go back to scripture and think, you know, if he asked and he called me to be a disciple, and I believe that he calls everyone to be a disciple for Christ in a different way, if you have a specific purpose in life, then you have to live out what he believes your mission is to be. And his job is to bring people to him, not your job. Your job is to be you and to show people, this is how he's working in my life, and this is what he's doing. But the ultimate conversion won't come from you, because we're not God.
Amen.
And that was my TED Talk. But I mean, I feel very passionately about that. That's important to me. It's very important that we love people where they are.
Catherine, I feel like one thing that you are so good at that I've admired is that you have really great farsightedness. It's so easy to get caught up with the war right in front of our face, especially when it comes to ministering, sistering, wifing, mothering, what have you. What are some things that help you keep like end game in sight? Just long game, farsightedness, you know, you've kind of got your eye on the prize. What are things that help you do that?
I think it's probably twofold. One is, I have an amazing husband, and I mean that in every sense of the word. He grew up Catholic, he was well catechized, sort of didn't really go to church in college, and then came back after we got married. Scott is just really centered. He doesn't get ruffled very often. I think he's got this good strategic mind, and I think that's starting to wear off on me because I tend to be a little bit more passionate than he does. We'll call it passionate. He maybe would use a different word, but I think that he's just a real balancing person in my life, and I've seen how that kind of attitude can really benefit you in a lot of ways. And then I think growing up in a different faith background, even though it was the same Jesus, I guess my interpretation of people get all stressed out or worried about big things or that what they perceive to be big things, but they're really small things. I think it was part growing up Protestant and seeing the bigger picture of Christianity and then having a preemie. Like, I think when you meet death and you're that close to it, it sort of makes some of the things that people complain and gripe about. You're like, actually that's not as big of a deal as you think it is. Yeah. And having older children, I think now we have the perspective now with our younger ones of saying, well, we think that's a big deal right now, but then now I know 18 years into motherhood, whether or not they take ballet at 5 is really not that big of a deal.
Right, perspective.
So it just took time. It took life experience and time. And I think that if you had spoken to me 15 years ago, it'd be a different Catherine. And I think that's a good thing. I think our lives are meant to be about growth and acceptance and understanding of who we are and who God means for us to be. And so that was a long answer to a really short question, but those are a few things I think that help.
Well, that's good. I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate your time today. You are living life well. And you shared that in your book, Live Big, Love Bigger, Getting Real with Barbecue, Sweet Tea, and a Whole Lot of Jesus. Catherine Whitaker, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Taylor.
Absolutely. Guys, we will be right back for our final segment of the day. Don't go anywhere.
Thank y'all for watching and listening to today's Forte Flashback episode. We hope that you enjoyed a flashback to the times when we were just getting to know Catherine. And now she's a co-host on the show once a month, and we love that she is here. If you like that, check out our other Forte Flashbacks with Allison and John and Father Anthony and Liv and everybody who has ever been a co-host. We went back to their first episode as a guest. Also, you guys know there's the whole backlog of shows. Every single one of our episodes is available on your any of your podcast apps, and about 80% of them are currently available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ForteCatholic. We are working on making that 100%, going back and putting those audio only ones over on YouTube as well, because we know that some of you like to work and have, you know, the show playing in the background. So thank y'all for listening. Also, if you're new to the show and you want to check out some of our best episodes, fortecatholic.com/podcasts with an S, like plural, will show our top 10 episodes by downloads ever. So that would be a great way and a great place to start. I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll be back with a normal episode next week. And until then, love you.